Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here. We had some technical difficulty today, with the show, but we just like to thank God we're here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we apologize that we are definitely off. We're about 15 minutes off, and that is because we had some technical difficulty, but it's good to be here. Thank God that we're here even now. So that's the blessing in it. We just had to keep be patient. That's why I always just try to get ready ahead of time. But anyway, it's good to be here. Thank God for all of our Twitter listeners, all of our Facebook listeners, and all of our LinkedIn listeners and friends, Blog Talk listeners and friends. Good to be here. So we thank God for the blessing to be able to declare his word and to broadcast his word. So it's good to be here. So we were talking about the resurrection on last week. And so today we want to just kind of deal with the, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, talking about the events that happened in the early church. So we're going to go back a little bit with the time that we have and kind of update you on what happened on last time. And we were dealing with the resurrection, we were dealing with the various accounts that the four gospel writers give of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Knowing that there is only one gospel, but there are four gospel writers. So I believe we left off in the Gospel of Luke on what happened on after his resurrection from the dead, and we know that he was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so, and we left off, he said unto them, O fools, they thought he was a gardener, and they were walking on the road to Emmaus. And he, so certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found as it were so as the women had said, but they saw him not. They're talking about Jesus. Jesus was actually the one that they were talking to in this conversation on the road to Emmaus. They thought he was a gardener. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he's going on here, Luke 24 and 27, the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we got to realize it's the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who is talking here. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. That means he waited with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, we're talking about, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? This is a question. They arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. So this is it's amazing, you know, what he had said to them actually has come to pass here. And they went and told and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now remember, we're talking about Jesus here, and so the key word there in that particular passage of scripture is that, and many times, because people wonder about things that happen, and where is the body at, and how are the Jews going to see, as Zechariah 12 and 10, the letter clause, say they should look upon me whom they have pierced, and they wonder how they're going to see, where is that body at? He can appear, he's God, he can appear in any form that he desires to appear, any form, at any time. He is God. This is what we always have to keep in mind. We're not just talking about a mere man, but we're talking about the Lord God Almighty himself. So, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, these were the Jews that were gathered together, the disciples, they were gathered together for fear of the Jews. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So he was in his resurrected body. Remember last week, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, we read about the resurrection and about what body they're going to come in, and about there's a different celestial body and terrestrial body and grain. Wheat and is sown in wheat, you know, about the resurrection of the dead. Is sown in dishonor, is raised in honor. It is sown in weakness, is raised in power. It's sown in corruption, is raised incorruptible. So it is, you know. You're talking about the resurrection body, and so we can see that he's letting them know this is what he is in. So when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, if you remember on last week, I made mention about that, about the apostles. There was only 12 apostles, and in that particular case, they were men. We know there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female in Christ Jesus, in the body of Christ. But we're talking about initially the men that he chose, whom he named apostles. And so I was letting you know that their job, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They walked with him, they saw him, they handled him, and they were taught by him, and they built on the foundation. That's why they called the foundation the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So Paul said, we don't lay on no other foundation but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And how last of all, Apostle Paul said he was seen me, by me, or of me, apostle talking about himself, Apostle Paul, as one born out of due season. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I labored more than them, but he said, but it was the grace of God that was with me. So we talked about the order, Christ the first fruits of them that slept. Then they hear Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall put down all reign, rule, and authority, for he must reign until he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's why the question was asked, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he's letting them know about the resurrection. So we kind of just updating you, bringing you back up to date what we are talking about today. So we go back here, and so he says, he opened their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. We're talking about Jesus here in the 24th chapter of St. Luke. And so he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now remember, he talked about this is what he said he was going to do. He's going to be crucified, and the third day he was going to rise again. They didn't really know what he's talking about. So he's letting them know now he's already risen, and he's telling them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus ye are witnesses of these things. So what is he talking about? His resurrection, because he's in his glorified body. He's already made the atonement, and he was a great high priest that made the atonement, passed into the heavens. He's a God that received the atonement, so he back to earth to appear to them in many infallible proofs. And so we're going to see as we go on, because St. Luke, if you've been following this broadcast any length of time, St. Luke is the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And this is what we're going to, our lesson is going to derive from on this evening, is the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to continue. So he goes on here, ye are witnesses of these things. So in other words, they were there. They're talking to him after his resurrection. Now, when he goes back to heaven, he ain't coming back no more. He's coming back in spirit form. So this is what we're going to move on as we move forward on this evening. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the 50th day of the Passover after he sends the Holy Ghost. So he's on the earth for 40 days. He's going to go back to heaven. 10 days later, he's going to send the Holy Ghost, which is the day of, remember I was saying on last week, there is no such thing as Pentecost. Is not a religion. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is a day. Pentecost is an experience. Speaking with other tongues, they call it the Pentecostal experience. So he goes on, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So he stepped on a cloud. They worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. They're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So as we continue on, we're going to pick up in the Acts of the Apostles, because that's the continuation here of this event after the resurrection, after him being in heaven, sending for 10 days. So the 50th day, God's word is right on time. Children of Israel got delivered in the 430 years, just like the Bible said. That's when they got delivered. The day of Pentecost is the 50th day after the Passover, just like God said. So the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So it's very important. He chose these, he handpicked them, as we would say. He chose these men. You cannot choose yourself, but he has to choose you to be an apostle, to whom also he showed himself after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I remember I just mentioned that just a few minutes ago. He was on the earth for 40 days, and he, after his resurrection, and many, excuse me, infallible proofs, speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, how many, so when you read in the book of the Hebrews, you see where testament is not of force until after men are dead. So it's no more force until after they die. So a testator or a testament is a will. The testator has to be dead for the testament, which is the will, to go into effect. How many people leave a will and come back and make sure that you got it? Nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he made sure that they got the will. So being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, now they're talking to Jesus, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, if you remember, I made mention, and I'll just fly back right quick right now, and to the 11th chapter of Romans. They're talking about Israel and how we were grafted in, and he chose them. He gave them the oracles of God. They were the chosen people, and so in Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which means God gave them the oracles of God, Israel, that is, and he's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. So he's going to bring them in. They are the 144,000, 12 tribes of Israel, not the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're the 12 tribes of Israel. So some things you just have to really think about and look at. Statistics. I mean, the day. This was a church that started on the day of Pentecost. John Wesley, all these other people. The Constantine so-called vision was 300 and something years afterwards. These people made these religions and these beliefs up themselves. And I'm told that they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. It's 2 or 3 million of them. So they say, if you talk to them, only 144,000 are going to be saved. So if that's the case, then the rest of them are crazy. That makes no sense. So we got to stick with the scriptures. So this is the church which was born on the day of Pentecost. So that, you know, they knew that he was the master, that the kingdom of Israel is going to be restored, but not now. When he come back to sit on the throne of his father David and reign 1,000 years, then shall there be peace on earth and goodwill to men. He'll actually literally be come back and step on the Mount of Olives. He's going to crack in half. He's coming back to fight. And after that, reign 1,000 years. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, cloud received him out of their sight. See, this is the same account that we just read in Luke. Remember, I told you Luke was the same one who wrote Luke, Dr. Luke, St. Luke. He wrote Luke and he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So that's why it's a synonymous with the book of Luke, the Acts of the Apostles, as far as the him ascending up in the cloud. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they beheld, they looked steadfastly toward heaven. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Though obviously those two men in white apparel were angels. While they, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem, the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. So we're going to go on farther here. And if we, actually, we haven't got to the day of Pentecost till we get to the next chapter. But we're just going to let you know what they done, because he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So that's exactly what they did. So when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where there are both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So you know what that means? James is up there, and Jude was up there too. And Jude was the one that says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." The book of Luke is only one chapter. So we go on. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and said the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He's talking about the deceiver, the betrayer, Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. See, in the 13th chapter of St. John, if you've been following me, he was the one that Jesus told, what you're going to do, do it quick. Satan entered in. He went out. It was night. And he said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." You know, so he had went out, and he can talk to them, and he let them know who he was, and don't be troubled, in the 14th chapter of St. John. So he goes on letting them know who he was, but he had to be gone out, Judas, that is. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. He's talking about Judas. He realized what he was done, but it was too late. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood, is written in the book of Psalms, "Let his habitation be desolate." Talking about Judas, "Let another dwell therein, his bishopric let another take. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." Remember now, he had gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16 and 18. He told him, "You, dar Peter, you know, upon this rock I will build my church." He's talking about himself, the rock. He's a rock, and he's a rock too. It's Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone, because that's what he referred to Simon Peter. But he is the rock himself. So he said, "Wherefore these men?" So he goes on here, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So that was, like I said, they saw him. They walked with him. They even saw him after his resurrection. Who am I talking about? The apostles, the 12. So they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. They prayed and said, Lord, thou which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry, apostleship, and apostleship from the which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his place. They gave forth their lots. The lot fell upon Matthias. He was numbered with the 11. There's a scripture in the Old Testament says a lot, Proverbs 16 and 33, I believe it is, says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So what is that? God is the one who impresses the hearts of the people. Even in elections that we have, some people didn't think that Senator Barack Obama was going to be elected president of the United States of America, but he was, because he was God. Like somebody said a long time ago, I know one of our bishops. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He said, he made a statement. This was in the 90s, I believe. He said, I know who the next president is going to be. And he said two words, God's man. So God's will is always going to be fulfilled. So now we're getting to what I had said and made mention of earlier, previously, even in on last week, that is Pentecost not being a religion, Pentecost not being a denomination, but Pentecost being a day, Pentecost being an experience. So, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They weren't on it. They were with it. You know how we say, get on one accord. No, get with one accord. Get like not, you. When you want somebody to get with the program, say, get with us. Come on, get with us. Get with the program. That's what they did. They were with one accord. Words are so important. People are going to be saved by words. People are going to be lost by words. So it's very important to, and one of the most important scriptures in the Bible is Nehemiah 8 and 8. It says, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So important. You got to get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So very important. So they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So there appeared unto them cloven or divided tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I just want to stop right there. It's like we say, I know today we got on the air just a little bit late. We had some technical difficulties, but we want you to know, as we know, that there is one Spirit, one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. So what did I say? I said one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is Ephesians 4 and 5. So the one baptism is the water and the Spirit. And we'll see as we go here. The Holy Ghost is in them when they were filled, but to get in Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're buried with him by baptism, the 6th chapter of Romans, the 3rd chapter of Galatians. And we're going to see here as we go on in our lesson that he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the 8th chapter of Acts, in the 10th chapter of Acts, in the 19th chapter of Acts. And, of course, here in the second chapter of Acts. So you've been born again. You're speaking another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives the utterance. So you're born of water and of the Spirit. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we go on here, and there we're dwelling at Jerusalem. And so another point of information that I've made from time to time, God confused their language in the 11th chapter of Genesis. They couldn't understand one another. They were going to build that Tower of Babel, which is the Tower of Confusion. They're going to build a tower to heaven. They're going to make a name for themselves. God came down and checked them out, confused their languages. They couldn't understand one another. They were going to do what they set out to do, but they couldn't understand each other. So now when he fills you with the Holy Ghost, he'll give you, you're speaking another tongue that's not your native tongue or another language, which is not your native language, but someone understands it. We'll go on here as we shall move forward in the lesson, and we'll prove it through the scriptures. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. This is noise abroad. The multitude came together and confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our tongue wherein we were born?" They're questioning one another, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do to hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, "What meaneth this?" So anytime the Lord is blessing, you got to anticipate the devil. And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." That's like 9 o'clock in the morning, because the day started at 6. "But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel," or Joel, whatever way you want to pronounce it. "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." That means Jew and Gentile, Greek. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And he's pouring it out even yet on today. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." That's where it ends right there. You can't go any farther. You go into another dispensation. So this is what we're talking about, is Joel 2:28. He's pouring out his spirit. And so we go on here. We're going to leave these other three verses. That's then to another dispensation. Remember, this the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, he's talking to ministers, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So he continues here, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth is a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken it by wicked hands have you crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So you got to realize this is Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. That's why 1 John 3:16, not St. John, but the first epistle of John 3:16, the writer says, hereby perceive we the love of God. In other words, we can see it. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. How did God die? He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God. Yes, he is. This is very Christ, and they knew he was. David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That word hell or Hades is making mention about the grave. Not going to leave my soul in the grave. He's delivered from the power of the grave. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brother, let me freely speak of you, unto you, of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, if you go back to the book of Romans, says he's declared to be, talking about Jesus, the Son of God with power, the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, talking about Jesus Christ himself. So he goes on to say, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would raise. So, you know, in other words, he came through the lineage of David. When you read the lineages, that Christ came of the lineage of David. You know, so according to the flesh, that he was raised up Christ to sit on his throne. This before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So he wasn't left in the grave. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So he's talking about, this is the fulfillment. Remember he said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is what he's making reference to. Therefore, being at the right hand of God, exalted in heaven, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You got to understand, this is God himself. This is Emmanuel. That's why they say, which being interpreted is God with us. Remember, Isaiah gives accounts of the Lord. I'm the Lord. That is my name. My glory I'm not going to give to another. I'm he before the day was. None can deliver out of my hand. I'm the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. And he went on to say, is there a God beside me? I know not of any. You know, so in other words, there's none before him, none after him, none beside him. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He's omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's omniscient. He's everywhere and every place. Omnipresent. Omniscient. Knows all things. Omnipotent. Has all power. So, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. That is the rest of them, right there. Nobody, there are no apostles nowadays. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, he's talking about being baptized in water. So it's the promises unto you, talking to the Jews now, those that were there, unto your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that included everyone. Remember, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without God, without hope in the world. Ye who were sometimes far off, in the book of Ephesians, he says, ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So he's talking about the Gentiles and everyone. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is very important, verse 41 in Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word, whose word? Peter's, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, our time is almost gone. We're going to continue next week. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Whose doctrine? The apostles' doctrine, or the apostles' teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So we're going to end right there because we want to do justice. So we're going to come back on next week and continue, especially since we had technical difficulties on today and we got a late start. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is TURTHMINISTRY 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.